Morning, everyone. Oh, that was just a little weak and tepid, all right? How are you? Good morning.
Morning.
All right, appreciate that. Thank you so much. Really glad to be here. Thank you, Larry, for affording me this privilege to speak to the crowd here this morning. And looking forward to this special day and all that it holds for us. Our passage this morning is Romans chapter 16, so turn in your smartphone to Romans chapter 16, or in your Bible, whatever form of Holy Scripture that you have with you. And if there's a prize for the guest speaker who chooses the strangest passage of Scripture to read, I think I get the prize. Romans chapter 16, and I am reading from verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Aren't you glad that it's me reading all these names and not you? Okay? You're welcome. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. This is the word of the Lord. Some of you are thinking, great choice for a passage for Sunday morning. It's a list. It's just a list of names. What's with the list of names? Well, a list is sometimes much more than a list in terms of its significance to an individual. Some of you may have seen the movie The Impossible. It's a film that was made about the tsunami that hit Aceh province, Southeast Asia, in 2004. And the movie tells the story of a family, Henry Bennett, Maria Bellon, and their three sons. Their resort was hit full frontal impact by the tsunami. The family was broken up and separated in the process of the wave hitting. Maria, the mother, was badly injured, a chest injury. The father, Henry, was also injured. And the chaos, the devastation, you've seen the images on TV. Anybody remember seeing this movie? Naomi Watts, okay, and Ewan McGregor. And as the wave recedes and the devastation from mile after mile, the death, the destruction, their whole, much of their resort was just consumed and overwhelmed by the tsunami. And it ends up that Henry has two of the boys that he finds, and they're together, but they know nothing about Maria, the mother, and the one boy, Thomas, but they have found each other, Maria severely injured. And the movie is the story, the unfolding series of events in which there is a happy ending, and the family is reunited, and they get the medical care that they need, unlike so many families who were permanently changed by that wave. But as the events unfold, one or the other of the party will, of the family members, will come to one of these places where the government or an NGO, a non-government organization, has posted lists of people. A list of fatalities, confirmed dead, or a list of people who are searching for their relatives, who are alive and hoping that their family members are alive. And as these family members would gather around these lists, don't try to tell them it's just a list. It's life or death. It represents whether there's hope that they'll be reunited as a family or not. So sometimes a list is way more than just a list, right? Depending on its significance to you. So if the Apostle Paul was here this morning, I think he would say, respectfully, friends, please just don't call this a list. These are my friends in Christ. These are the people whose journey in Jesus intersected with mine somewhere in the past, in Corinth maybe, or in Ephesus, or somewhere in Asia Minor. These are people that I served Jesus with in the mission of God, telling the world about Jesus' life and death and resurrection. These are people who I walked long, dusty miles with as we went from village to village. Some of these people were on long sea voyages with me as we went from place to place talking about the Lord Jesus. Some of these people were in jail with me, and that's where Paul is writing from now. Some of these people risked their lives for me. Some of these people experienced the same rejection in a community that I experienced because they were with me. Some of these people were thrown out of a town just like I was thrown out of a town for talking about the Lord Jesus. And these people who have encountered Paul at places in his past have now, for one reason or another, they have all migrated to Rome. And as Paul writes from prison this letter to the Roman church, he winds up this magnificent letter that we call the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. He winds it up with this long list of names of people who he has a shared history with. And now they are all in Rome in various house churches, part of the one church of Jesus in the city of Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, in several different house churches. And now he's written them an extended letter, and he's wrapping up the letter with all of these greetings. And these are people that he carries in his heart. These are people with whom he is bound together by the circumstances that they've experienced together. These are people who are precious to Paul. These are people whom he knows to be true, blue, faithful servants and followers of the Lord Jesus. And as he writes this magnificent theological treatise about the gospel to the Romans, when it's time to wind it all up, what is he thinking about? He's thinking about these precious people. He's thinking like a pastor and a shepherd. He's just thinking like a Christian. Someone who has been so loved by Jesus, and he's aware of it. And his heart is full of love and affection for his fellow pilgrims, his fellow Christians, his fellow servants, his fellow workers in Christ, serving others, serving a lost world together in Jesus' name. And as he greets them, the things that he says about them. He starts with Phoebe. Phoebe brought the letter. She brought the letter from Paul to the Roman church. A great expression of trust by the Apostle Paul. And I suspect that Phoebe was also a very mature and godly woman, and she may have had a very significant teaching gift. Because if Paul trusted her with his most dense theological letter, the Epistle to the Romans, and said, Phoebe, you carry this letter to the followers of Christ in Rome, Paul knew there would be questions. Paul knew there would be people in the church who'd say, Phoebe, what do you think Paul meant in chapter 6? Although there wasn't a chapter 6 in the original version. And so he had confidence in Phoebe to deliver this letter and presumably to be able to respond with wisdom and knowledge of the way of Jesus to the questions that would inevitably come. But he says, I want you to welcome this sister of mine in the Lord Jesus, Phoebe. She's a servant of the church, and she's been a source of help to a great number of people. And then he starts greeting the people who are in Rome. I want you to greet Priscilla and Aquila, a married couple, the wife's name first. Stronger personality, stronger teaching gift, I don't know, but Priscilla and Aquila were team teachers of the Word of God. Paul had met them earlier, had taught alongside them, and now they are in Rome, and they are hosting a church in their home. They are fellow tent makers, like Paul. And at one point, they risked their lives for Paul, identifying with him in his mission for Jesus. And how thankful to God he is for Priscilla and for Aquila. And he says, I want you to greet my friend, verse 5, Epaphroditus. Say hi to Epaphroditus for me. Epaphroditus is the first believer in Christ in the whole province of Asia. He's the first guy that when I was declaring the truth about Jesus, who actually entrusted his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say hi to Epaphroditus for me. First one. He says, I want you to greet Mary. Greet Mary, verse 6, who worked very hard for you. Greet Mary. I wonder what Mary did. There was a woman who greeted me warmly this morning when I got here at 8:40 this morning. I wonder if Mary showed up early at church. I wonder if Mary was a Bible teacher. I wonder if she taught. I wonder if Mary was the lady who always showed up early and put the coffee on. But he said, I want you to greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles. Exuberant affirmation from Paul. They are outstanding among the apostles. And they were in Christ before I was. Oh, slipping down a little bit, a few verses here, down to Tryphena and Tryphosa. What do you think of when I say those two names? Sisters, Tryphena, Tryphosa. I'm guessing they were twins. Tryphena means, let me find this here, means dainty. Very, very, very feminine and dainty. In her spirit and mannerisms. Tryphosa means delicate. Delicate. So these two women, almost certainly sisters, maybe twins, probably unmarried, or if they were married, their husbands not believing men. They were at home watching football, not in church, because they're not mentioned in the text. But here's Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Their names might be dainty and delicate, but they're not dainty and delicate around church, around the people of God. When there's stuff that needs to be done, they're rolling up their sleeves, They're jumping right in. They're serving. They're blessing. They're caring. We don't know exactly what Tryphena and Tryphosa did. We don't know if they were teaching the little ones in the Sunday school. We don't know if they were singing in the worship team. We don't know if they were part of the leadership team of some kind. We don't know if they were making dumplings in the kitchen. We don't know what they were doing. But here were these two adult twins. Maybe they dressed identically every Sunday and wore the same thing like some twins do. So people were always confused. Are you Tryphena? No. You're Tryphosa. Yeah, right. Got it. But there they were. Serving. Greet Rufus and his mother. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Now, isn't that interesting? We know from Holy Scripture that every authentic follower of Jesus is chosen in the Lord. That there is a choosing act of God and there is a choosing act of human individual. To be in Christ is to be chosen. He wants us. But Rufus is singled out. I want you to say hello to Rufus for me. Rufus, yeah, chosen in the Lord. I wonder if Rufus was hard on himself. I wonder if Rufus struggled with his sense of being rooted and planted in Christ. I wonder if Rufus was insecure about whether or not Jesus loved him. I wonder if Rufus was hard on himself. Paul's not confused about Rufus. I want you to greet Rufus for me. He's chosen in by the Lord. And then I love this part. And I want you to greet Rufus's mother too. Because she has been a mother to me, Paul. That makes me want to know how. How was Rufus's mother a mother to Paul? Did she fuss over Paul? Did she dote over him as the unmarried apostle? Did Rufus's mother say to Paul, "Now, Paul, I know how forgetful you can be. So I just want to remind you, pack your extra socks for your missionary journey. Paul, make sure you take your warm cloak, not the summer cloak, take the warm cloak where you're going. The nights are cold." He says, greet Rufus's mother because she has been a mother to me too. And on it goes. As Paul blesses, affirms, greets, attaches value to, publicly honors, encourages, expresses his indebtedness, identifies with person after person after person. Some of you are thinking, why on earth did you pick a passage like this for us for today? This special day in which we dedicate the expansion of a building and we ordain Pastor Paul Chu to the gospel ministry. Well, there's a simple answer to that question. You see, the New Testament has a name for the kind of relational community that Paul is describing through all of these greetings. The New Testament has a name for the kind of interrelatedness at the level of heart and common participation in the gospel. The New Testament has a name for the relational community where people speak well of each other and they affirm and they bless each other publicly and privately. The New Testament has a name for when people are kind of welded together by ministering together, by serving Jesus together and experiencing common circumstances in that service. The New Testament has a name for the relational community where people actually sacrifice to look after each other. The New Testament calls that church. Church. That's what this is called. Church. Every one of those greetings, every one of those affirmations, every one of those thank yous is a window onto what it means to be the people of God gathered in community with Jesus Christ right at the center. The one who loves us infinitely, deeply, intentionally, eternally, the one who loves us, who holds us in his hands, the one who protects us, the one who is at work in our lives, making us like himself, the one who will take us across the finish line into his presence, the one who loves us like this, overflows in our love for each other. So church, church, on the day when we ordain your pastor, lead pastor, but on the day when we dedicate a building, expansion of a building, and buildings are useful. Thank God for buildings. It's sunny today, but if it was raining, we'd all be really thankful for this roof. Thank God for buildings. They can be tools in the hands of the Lord Jesus in the fulfillment of his mission. But let's never, ever, ever forget it is not about the buildings. It's about you and you and you and you. It's about being the church. So, English congregation of Westwood Alliance Church, I bless you and I thank you to the extent that your life reflects the values and the actions, the behaviors and the choices of the community of faith, the church. I bless you. Keep being the church. Ramp it up. Ramp up the love. Ramp up the mutual service. Ramp up the connections to a world that does not yet know how deeply they are loved by the living God. Keep being the church. Amen. Amen.
Being the church, and thank you for the message. And let's respond with this one. The song is called God of the City, and it's about being the church. We celebrate today for the expansion of the building and for Pastor Paul. But we know that there's greater things to be done on this earth, and for our community, for those that are around us. So let's sing this in great hope, in great anticipation. Greater things still to be done. Would you rise with me?
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You Jesus. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
All right.
Greater things have yet to come. Greater things still to be done in this city. To come, greater things still to be done in this city.
Church, you take this, come on now.
Receive the benediction. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Amen.